Okay, my boy Syed, let's begin. We're back in business. Let's learn about Inyanei Pesach. Pesach is in 2 weeks. Time goes by very quickly. Okay, I'd like to discuss today some issues relating to food. Food on Pesach. Now, we have to appreciate Pesach is unique among all of the holidays with regard to the shiur of chametz. We know that chametz, the mitzvah deraisa, it is an iser to eat chametz. It is, you are not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. What is the shiur? What is the pro? What is the punishment? Kares. No. Am I saying kares? You mean chametz on Pesach is kares? Okay, it's a very serious prohibition to eat chametz on Pesach. Okay, that now not only is there a chiyuv kares, which is really off the charts in severity. Why? Even a person eats a piece of bread, he's chiyuv kares. I mean, it's a very extremely severe prohibition. Not only is it severe in punishment, it is severe in size. What is the shear? Ordinarily, a prohibition in HaTorah, it's also the shear of a kezayis. What is the shear of a kezayis? Basically, the equivalent of what you can fit into one fluid ounce is basically the amount of food that you can displace. Amount of solid food that can displace one fluid ounce is accepted to be the approximate size of a kezayis. Now, if that's the case, that's when it comes to eating non-kosher foods, anything that is forbidden. Yet, when it comes to Pesach, the halacha min haTorah, chametz is also b'mashehu, even the smallest amount. Even though there's no chiyuv kares for eating less than a kezayis, yet min haTorah it is also to eat even a crumb of chametz. And that changes the dynamics of the prohibition of eating chametz on Pesach in so many different ways, the severity of a mashehu. Unfortunately, these last 2 years, we all know very well what it means, a mashehu. When it comes to everyone here, we all know people who are no longer with us. We all know people that were literally deathly ill, b'nachayim v'hamaves. And everyone has been affected by a disease that you can't see. You can't see, you can't touch. We're dealing over here with something which is a mashu, shebe mashu, shebe mashu. And we go to extremes, social distancing, masks. And in the beginning, people were cleaning everything, whatever you ever do, you have to wash your hands 20 times a day. Why? Maybe in the air, on the surface, on someone's skin, in someone's breath, there was a teeny, teeny mashu of a dover ha'osur. And if that dover ha'osur comes into my body, who knows what's going to happen to me. So unfortunately, we know all very good and well what it means, dover ha'osur. In the field of oncology, it's all about mashus. So Rahman Ruslan, the whole understanding is the koyach of a mashu. It's a pachak of what a mashu, how deadly a mashu, who, what it can do to the body, to the guf. And obviously this is a limud hamusar. I mean, until we had this scientific knowledge of the koich of a mashu, when the Torah says chometz is also the mashu in the olam haruchni, we have today problem like never in the history of the world. Do we have an appreciation of what it means that chometz is osur b'mashehu? And although you'll say chamida, it's nothing really wrong. Nothing is wrong with chometz. The Torah doesn't want you to eat chometz. And Torah is machmir. Zechiv kares, zechiv mashehu. When we look back, we used to look back at our ancestors that would go out of that. They would go meshuga to clean the house. They would clean every single nook and cranny. They would scrub the floor with their bare hands. They would scrub the walls. And do things that are literally extremes. Okay, there are people even out of Yom HaZeh, when they eat matzah on Pesach, they don't put the matzah on, it's not exposed. I know someone that does this. I went to eat by them on Pesach.
They have bigs.
What? Bigs? Because of chametz is also the mashu. Maybe. a little bit of liquid will spurt upon the matzah, and in the matzah there might be some flour that was not fully baked, and or a portion of the matzah that was not fully baked, and that part that was not baked is now going to come kind of the liquid. That liquid is going to ferment, it's going to turn into chametz, and then the person will be eating a mashu of chametz on Pesach. Come on, what are the chances? What are the chances that a teeny
What's the definition of mashu? Is it less than visible?
Well, we'll talk about Corona. How will you define the mashu in terms of Corona?
It's not visible.
Okay, they tell you, even wearing the mask is normal. You have to wear two masks, three masks. You have to wear the N95 mask because it goes right through the mask. I don't have to elaborate. Today, there's probably never a time in the history of the world when the average person has a real appreciation of the danger of a mashu. Okay, in the medical field of oncology, like that. But Baruch Hashem, not everyone is involved in that. But in what we're dealing with today, lockdown and death and suffering and all the sorrows that have been going for the last 2.5 years, who doesn't have that? What living creature is there in this world today that doesn't appreciate the danger, the choymer hadavar of a mashuhu with regard to sakana? Chazal say chamida. Now you'll tell me, okay, that's a sakana, dealing with a deadly disease. When you're dealing with chametz, what's chametz? A piece of bread. What's the big deal? You're right. You're dealing with food. We're not dealing with a sakana for the guf, but the Torah tells us it's a sakana for the neshama. Chametz is merames on the seor shabi'isa. The seor shabi'isa is the yetzer hara, and a mashu shebe mashu of the Yetzer Hara gets into your neshama, you're finished. One day you'll do things that you never imagined you'll do your whole life. All of a sudden you find yourself not being miser in Lashon Hara, not being miser in this, not being miser in that. One thing leads to another. How did it all start? That I came to be nichshol in dvar marasun, dvar chamuras. A mashu. Come on, a mashu. A little Yetzer Hara, a little teeny mash of the Yetzer Hara is going to destroy my neshama. It's going to lead me to a time when I'm going to be terrible avaris. Really? Well, Hashem, unfortunately, in these last 2.5 years, has given us a dogma of the danger of a mashu. We fully comprehend when it comes to a davash of a guf, the human body, the most sophisticated creature in this world with an incredible immune system, an incredible sophistication of the creator named the chochma. Uvarovo nikavim chalulim, yet a teeny mashu can take him down in a moment's notice. So when the Torah tells us that there's a Yetzer Hara and the little mashu of the Yetzer gets into your neshama, it'll take you down. It will deny you mchaye olam haba. It's not so far-fetched for us to appreciate this and see us. Like everything else that Hashem gave us in this world was all to wake us up. Years ago, there was no such thing as electronic monitoring, recording devices and cameras. Today, wherever you go, you're being recorded, they're watching you. Shui's watching me the whole day over the air. Shui, I change the air conditioner, but they know about it. They know the whole thing is hooked up. They watch through the camera, I didn't even know where the cameras are. I showed a guy in shul where I got a shvim in shul. I said, you know, you're being watched right now. He says, no, we're not. No cameras there. Oh, no cameras? And I showed him a little teeny secret camera in the shul, watching your every move. Take him down to the basement, show him the screens, all the cameras. And enough, don't ask me to sit in the office. They can watch the sophistication. You cannot begin to imagine how sophisticated these things are. When I was out in yeshiva, someone lost a becher. They lost the becher by the kiddush. They made a simcha. They brought us a becher. The becher is gone. Who's the ganav? So what do they do? So they went to the office. The guy there in the office works in the office. So what do? He goes on the computer. No one even knows that in the yeshiva, in the base ministry, there are cameras all over the place because they're so small you can't even see them. What are they do by design? And what did he do? He goes, okay, Shabbos, when the kiddush, what time was the kiddush? The kiddush was this time. So he goes to that time, it is the kiddush. And sure enough, on the table, the people are coming to the kiddush. The becher is there on the table. So he takes a box, a red box, and he draws around the becher a red box on the screen. And then he pushes the button. And then it goes high speed. And the high speed, the computer is watching the red box. The red box, that object that has been put in the red box, it's moved from here to here, 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 going high speed, and then all of a sudden everyone leaves there, and all of a sudden the janitor comes and cleans up, and the janitor, without realizing, he takes off the tablecloth, and it goes to the garbage. And it's still, then, okay, let's follow the garbage. Put a box around the garbage. Follow the garbage, all the other cameras, out into the street. Sanitation comes to pick it up. In one minute, a guy can just go, put a little box here, a little box there, and you can watch the little becher go through.
This was a Shabbos?
This one, it's on Shabbos.
Are you allowed to use your recording from Shabbos?
Everyone is doing it. Rav David Feinstein years ago said...
You're allowed to have it going. Are you allowed to utilize that recording after Shabbos?
Yes. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. The answer. When I saw a guy, I'll tell you another nice
one. You're absolutely right. We had to have camera system. And we couldn't, everybody broke in, and not everybody here now was wearing a mask. So our technician reported the cameras, came in, and they said, we can't find out. When the police came, they said, do you mind if we send in our police technician? And he did, and our own technician who installed the cameras and said he knows what to do. Why are you playing around with it? They, all of a sudden, he played with the camera, and he saw the people coming out of the building 3 blocks away from
professionals
putting on the bed. And our technician said, how did you do that? He said, that's what we get paid for.
The professionals.
You have no idea what your camera does.
I know someone who's a gabbai in a big shul, a big shul in Lakewood. He's obsessed with, he's a gabbai, it's his shul, he runs the whole show. He runs the show. And he came to Brooklyn. He came to Brooklyn for Shabbos. And like, he really wanted to be in Lakewood running the ship. All the politics, a lot of politics of his shul, big shul.
We don't know.
After Shabbos, I could not believe what he did. He logged in remotely on his phone into the shul's computer system, into the security.
What he missed?
And he saw all the aliyahs. The whole show. Who all the aliyahs went to? Who got hanged? Who got sefer? Every detail. And like he was right away making cheshbonos. I see they did this and this and this. I told him not to do that. He did this. He listened to me. They said they get away with it. He recalibrated. What's going to be next Shabbos? Based upon, will you believe this? Why did Hashem do this to us in this generation? Obviously, we need it. The Chofetz Chaim knew, Ayin Royeh, the Oizen Shamas. The previous generations, they had a...
It doesn't make sense to me.
It subconsciously does. You don't realize. What? It does.
People are still committing crimes, still doing bad things. With all the cameras, and they even
could
get
you imagine without the cameras?
They don't do anything.
Can you imagine without the cameras?
Yeah. Can you could imagine what would be without cameras, because we used to have it without cameras.
You can't.
Maybe we have less crimes. I don't know.
Hashem has made it very much aware, has brought us into a generation. Ayin, Roya, all the Bali Moses say this is the verb Shutim Ad Mo'id. Ayin, Roya, V'Oizen Shonas. Hashem put us in generation, we're weak, we need chizuk to recognize how to deliver your Shemayim. And we recognize, every person recognizes the same way that in this world, everything that we say, everything that we do, Ayin Roye V'Oizen Shamas Al Achas Kama V'Kama Ribayu Shalom, he sees it all. What? We can communicate. Can you imagine? You can make a telephone call. You can speak to any person anywhere in the world. You can call up someone right now on the space station. If you know their telephone number, you can call them up on the space station. Anyone in the world, you can communicate. You can dive into Hashem. If you can communicate with anyone in the world, doesn't that open up your mind to be makkel? You can speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem has given us. Hashem recently, this is something that is new. Recently, in the last number of years, has given us, taught us the principle of a mashahu. A mashahu, we never had this. In the medical field, a mashahu. in the field of what we're dealing with Corona, Mashu, and in technology. I don't know if you don't watch these conspiracy theory channels. The technology is there. Whether they're using it on us, we don't know. But the technology of nanotechnology of devices that are a mashu shem a mashu, it's unreal. What Hashem has brought us an awareness of the meaning of a mashu in the olam hagashmi, and it's all to be makir that when it comes to Pesach, Pesach is the only chag where there's a principle chometz osur b'mashu. People would scrub their pots to extremes. And we look back and we say, not for me. I can't do this. I'm not getting down on my knees and scraping the floor to look for microscopic pieces of dust to take every safer off your shelf and blow. Because maybe when no one was watching, someone came in and ate something and a little crumb fell in over there. And maybe I might put the safer on the table. Maybe it'll fall. I mean, these are like, what, are you out of your mind? What are you doing? What's going on over here? And all the poskim say, they say, today we don't do this. No, someone actually showed
me
this here Shabbos.
What? My mother made me do it.
Someone showed me this Shabbos. Yeah. Someone showed me Mishpacha Mag. They have it in the back. Maybe you're familiar with this. In the back of Mishpacha Mag, someone showed this to me. Went out of the way to show this to me. What is it called? It's called Kichels? Is that what it's called?
Kichels.
Yeah. Everyone I'm talking about? If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Ashrecha
V'toy. The one in the back of Mishpacha magazine?
The last page. Yeah. You know what it is? There's a cartoon. Very famous cartoon in the back. They make Leitzonis on us. It's sometimes the Leitzonis on us. Yes, sometimes the Leitzonis goes too far. Sometimes it's good. No, they don't do the letters there. Not only the after the mishpacha, they don't letters there about this. Sometimes it gets nasty, really nasty. But sometimes it's funny. So someone showed this news. Talking very funny. There's a husband has his wife, and his wife. His wife is like doing crazy things for cleaning for Pesach, getting on the floor, scraping with a toothbrush, crazy things she's doing.
That was last week.
Right, I'll tell you. So the husband takes the last Shabbos. So the husband takes his wife to the Rav, and she sits her down by the Rav, and the husband says Lashnar to the Rav. My wife's a nutcase. She's doing these crazy extreme things for cleaning for Pesach. So the Rav explains to her very nicely, you don't do this. And he's telling her, don't do it. It's not necessary. It's ridiculous. And then so the wife at the very end of this long Musa Shmus, the woman says to the Rav, tell me, what does your wife do? And then they show the caption that the Rav's wife is in the kitchen at this moment of doing exactly what this woman does that her husband brought it to the Rav. The Rav is telling her not to do. The Rav's own wife in the kitchen is doing exactly what the Rav is telling this woman not to do.
The same school.
Okay, so where does it come from? Where did it come from? We don't do this today. We don't do this today.
Went up to Rav David before Pesach. He was sitting on the floor with a shmata. And he was dusting in
there. He was doing ridiculous things. What we call ridiculous things. Where does it come from? Well, unfortunately, Hashem has revealed to us in these last 2.5 years where this comes from. Chometz osur b'mashu, because that mashu of chometz is the se'or she'be'isa, is the yetzer hara. And when you let the yetzer hara into your neshama, even a mashu in the olam haruchni, guess what? It takes you to a place that you never imagined you would be in. When the Yetzer Hara creeps into your neshama, this gaiva, taiva, or all that come with it, one thing leads to another, to another, to another. Once a year, Torah told us, you have to recalibrate. You have to study what is life all about. Where are you holding in life? How much of the Yetzer Hara do you really allow to come into your neshama? It used to be the minute that even though it's ridiculous, who's not going to say it's ridiculous? People, part of the cleaning for Pesach was an avoida. It was mamish an avoida to going through this exercise of doing ridiculous things. Ridiculous things. These are sacred minhagim. All these makaris, he writes, oh, we have all these makaris over here, he testifies, all these makaris, people do these, there are makaris for this. Even though technically it's ridiculous what they're doing, It's an exercise to bring to your consciousness that the Sahara is Shabbat Issa, is the Yetzirah. You let that Yetzirah, even a teeny, teeny mashu into your neshama, you're finished. And they believed it. We don't believe it. They believed it. They understood that they were, these were like every average person in those days were, could get a PhD in psychology to appreciate the slightest negia that a person has towards covet and gaiva and all that comes with it. We don't believe it anymore. So Hashem, Rahman al-Itzlan, I'm not saying a correlation. I'm just saying that this from our very simple perspective, just use it to our advantage. The fact that we dealt with this terrible tsar for these last couple of years, and the world is changing with technology to such a degree of nanotechnology, Hashem is reminding us what our ancestors intuitively knew, that the Sa'ar Shebi Isa can destroy you. You know, there really is such a thing in this world. Look at the Olam HaGashmi. The Olam HaGashmi, a mashu can destroy you. You know, it's not so far-fetched to appreciate that in the Olam HaRuchni, when you allow the Yetzirah to play games with you, even in a degree which you think is ridiculous, it's not so ridiculous. One thing leads to another very, very quickly when you deal with your personal agenda, your personal taiva, your personal redifus hakovid and redifus hamama. Now, in that regard, there are, even though a lot of things today people don't do anymore because people are not going to go and go to extremes. We're just very weak and people are not advised to go meshuggah anymore for many different reasons. But there are still chumras which are still sacred in the Klal Yisrael. Now, let's just discuss it a little more of halacha before we get into some of the other technical things. There's a principle that everyone is familiar with, is that it's that you have a chametz that is not roy la'achilas kelef. Let's talk about something extreme, cosmetics. A woman has cosmetics. Do you have to check, are the cosmetics kosher l'Pesach? Okay, a woman puts on whatever, there are different things. Or men are different anointments, if the person has their rash. Medications. Let's talk about medications. Topical medications. Cosmetics. Or let's talk about, I don't remember anymore, let's say
shampoo,
oh, excellent. Shampoos, soaps,
toothpaste.
Excellent. Well, toothpaste goes in your mouth, it's even worse. Fine, toothpaste, mouthwash, shampoos, soaps. Soaps are a very good example. Soaps, cosmetics. So we have a Blumenkrantz book, we have a famous Rabbi Blumenkrantz book. Today, a lot of competitors try to simplify things. You have to check medications. I mean, come on. Did you ever see someone go and give Lysol to a dog? Did you ever see someone break open the Lysol, give the liquid to a dog? It's not Roy Lachilas Kelef. If it's not Roy Lachilas Kelef, what's this all about? I'm not eating it. I can't spray Lysol because maybe I have to have first check in the Blumenkrantz book if Lysol is kosher Pesach. I shouldn't use paper towels because maybe the glue that they use to put the last piece of the paper towel, have to stick it on. It might be starch, might be clumber. I mean, come on now, what's going on over here? So it sounds ridiculous. It does sound ridiculous, but the truth is, when you learn the lumbness, it's not so ridiculous. I'm not telling you to do these things, but you have to appreciate where it comes from. First of all, this is a phenomenon. I never appreciated this until I saw that. And, you know, when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Pasuk said, let me look to it. V'lo yechratz kelev l'shona. L'chol b'nei yish v'lo yechratz kelev. Dogs are not bark. Dogs stood on the sun. How do we celebrate Pesach? How do we celebrate it? What's one of the main? Well, mass, of course. 4 cups of wine. Can you give wine to a dog? You go online, and I found a very interesting. What happened? The person, you have a cup of wine, a glass of wine, on your dresser. And you wake up the next day, and the glass of wine is half empty. Where did it go? All that liquid? There's only one creature could have consumed half of that glass. Your pet, your dog. If your dog drinks alcohol, he's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, they do.
Alcohol is poison. Literally poison for a dog. Paras, the miracle of Purim is Achashverosh was the Melech of Paras. Daryovesh Harparsi paid for the binyan of the Bayis Sheni. The Eish Min HaShemayim that appeared on the Mizbeach of the Bayis Sheni was in the Tzura of a Kelef, because the Parsim are compared to dogs. There's an Azus of a dog, there are Midrashim about dogs. There's a very famous, is that one of the early kings of Paras was a prince, and he was I don't remember the details, he was taken to the forest, and he was taken care of by a dog. A dog raised and cared for a prince. There's a Midrash. And because of that, when this dog died, there's a dog that saved the life of the prince of Paras. They put him a matzeva for the, those days it was a chiddush. Today it's not a chiddush, it's not a matzeva for a dog. But in those days it was a chiddush. They put him a matzeva for the dog, and they worship dogs in Paras because for some reason there's an affinity to part of the king. The king of Persia had an affinity to dogs. Ad kidei kach that the Eish, I have to right over here. The Eish on the Mizbeach.
They just found an Ashkelon in the cemetery
of dogs.
400 dogs. Yeah.
400 dogs. Wow.
Because usually they're compared to a bear.
Okay, they're misubolim kadoy. Chazal said that the Eish al Hamizbeach was in the tzur of a kelef. Why? The tzura of the Eish, the Bayis Rishon, was in the tzura of a lion. Why was the Bayis Rishon a lion, the Bayis Sheni a kelef? Because David built the Bayis, David and Shlomo, Malchus Yehud, they built the Bayis Rishon. It was built by Jews. Built by Jews, David is Gur Arya Yehuda. Yehuda is a lion. Who paid for the binyan? Who paid for the Bayis Sheni? Paras. Paras compared to a dog. What is the miracle of Purim? Our survival from the Persians, of Haman, who wanted to destroy us. Is it not fascinating that the way we celebrate Purim is with a mishte yayin, the drink that is associated with Purim? Chayiv adam levasume bipuraya ad lo yada. Yayin is poison to a dog. The Persians are compared to dogs. So it's interesting is that we celebrate on Purim with a mashke that to our enemies is poison. It's poison. Okay, alcohol is poison to a dog. Now, what am I trying to say? When it comes to chametz, when we talk about the principle that it's not roi l'achilas kelef, that applies only to bread, to leaven, to food. Dogs eat different types of food products, the same way that humans eat food products. And if you have a food product that is chametz and it's not fit for a dog, that's right, it's not fit for human consumption. Now here's the thing, there's no principle of alcohol not being fit for a dog. Because inherently alcohol is poison for a dog. The principle of something not being royal achilas kelev applies to food. That they could eat. Okay, so that a human also could eat. Now do dogs eat bread?
Yes.
Do we eat bread?
Only with
sheer. Only with what? They do eat bread, they do eat grains?
Yeah.
Okay, so dogs, grains that are, they're fit for human consumption and they're fit for animal consumption. So if it's not fit for animal consumption for the dog, so therefore it's not royal achilas kelev, so therefore it's not called chametz for a person. That rule does not apply to alcohol. Alcohol can come from many sources. One of the big issues today in the kashrus industry is the alcohol chametz. There are many alcohols, especially when it comes to medication and perfumes and shampoos and soaps and cosmetics, where the alcohol is sourced from chametz. When you're dealing with alcohol, the rule of not being royal achilas kelev doesn't apply. Because dogs anyway can't consume alcohol. Because it's poison for them. So, but for a human being, you know, you have some alcohol which was sourced from chametz, Okay, they make alcohol from, I don't know all the details. So for a person would pay an enormous amount of money for this. You can use this chametz, and your person would pay, it's delicious. It's chametz gomor. Is it royal achilas kelev? No. Not only is it not royal achilas kelev, it'll kill your dog. It'll mamish kill the dog. So the rule of something not being royal achilas kelev does not apply when the issue of chametz is alcohol. In 99% of these products that you look in Brother Blumenkranz's book, he's like, what are you dealing with? Kind of crazy products. Lipstick, soap. You ever see someone give lipstick to a dog to eat? I mean, what's going on with it? You give a dog to eat shampoo and soap and medication. What's going on? It's not Royal Achilas Kelev. No. You're making a very big 99% of these products, there's only one ingredient that's chametz, and that ingredient, alcohol. Alcohol. All of these ingredients have in them alcohol. And the question is, where did the company source that alcohol from?
Right. So they source
it from, if they source it from chametz,
then
it's chametz. Now here's the catch. Okay, everybody say. Here's the issue. If chametz is not only also ba'achila, chametz is also behanah. It's not only also to ingest chametz. It's also to derive benefit. Now let's have a business selling chametz on Pesach. You're not allowed to go take chametz and smear it. You use it in oil and smear it on your body. No, only. Well, you're dealing with a grain. When you're dealing with a grain, it loses its chametz definition when it's not royal achilas kelev. I have a grain product, and a dog would not eat this.
So that grain you made into an alcohol.
No.
So now it lost its...
Alcohol, no. Would a human being consume the alcohol? Let's say you have a grain that you made into an alcohol. Would a human being drink it?
Why not?
With pleasure.
You'll pay a lot of money for it also. You'll drink it, you'll consume it. But it's not right for a dog. If a dog would drink it, it would die. The rule of not being royal achilas kelev is limited to grains. If you have a type of cosmetic that the chametz is a grain, and it's not royal achilas, then it's not royal achilas kelev. It's finished. There's nothing to talk about. There are many things like that. Elmer's glue. Elmer's glue, what does it have? There's no alcohol in Elmer's glue. It's a matter of grain. Would you give a dog Elmer's glue?
Would he take it?
He wouldn't eat it. So what you have to, what is the chametz? What is the chametz in the product? Yalb product. Oh, this came from chametz. Okay, let's discuss this. What kind of chametz did it come from? Is it a grain product? Is it royal achilas kelev? No. If it's not royal achilas kelev, don't tell me that it's chametz. I don't care that it was once upon a time chametz. Will a dog eat this? No, you wouldn't give it to a dog. But if the chametz that you're dealing with in the product is alcohol, you're entering into a different world. That's where Rabbi Blumenkranz and all the whole Hanilim will love enter into the picture. Yeah, a shampoo, a very expensive shampoo. Or you're dealing with, let's say, cosmetics, they have alcohol in. Or you're dealing with any of these type of things. Oh, there's alcohol in the sack. Okay. Now, the alcohol they put into the, would you drink it? You wouldn't drink it because in the product, besides the alcohol, there are toxins. You wouldn't go and drink a shampoo. When you're right mind, drink one. But wait, you're not drinking, you're having pleasure. The same way you're not allowed to ingest chametz, you're not allowed to derive pleasure from chametz. Is this chametz? Is there chametz? What is the chametz? The chametz is the alcohol. Oh, but the alcohol is mixed with other products, so what? When they put that alcohol, before they actually mixed it with all these other ingredients, was that alcohol edible, consumable for a human being? And the answer is before they put it in. And many times the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Where they source that alcohol, you only bought one lot. Another company bought another lot and ended up in the supermarket, which goes into people's stomachs. It's the same alcohol. It's the same, some of these, I'm not familiar with the food technology, but what they're writing is that you're dealing with cosmetics and medications and soaps and all this entire category. If the issue, which is usually only one ingredient that's a problem, the alcohol. Where did they get the alcohol from? If it came from chametz, it could be a problem. Because that alcohol, before it was put into the product, is consumable by a human being.
But, and if it was a product that's consumable before they put it into the product, it renders it not kosher for Pesach?
It's called chametz. It's chametz.
Most alcohols, first of all, are isopropyl, but that's just...
Right, so that's today. Today the trend is...
It's not a great alcohol.
You just need, right, that's why a lot of the things you don't have to even look up, because you're going to be so much on right. Right, that's why we're very makel. Many of the alcohols we live in the modern world today, and today everything is, today it's synthetically produced, it's no longer the real deal. So that's why you go Sadochan Roiv. You're right.
To be sure, we have to.
No, things are always changing. You'll be surprised. Things change every single day. That's why they have all these books. They do change and not change. But we should appreciate where it comes from. At least let's just appreciate the principle. When you hear someone checking if a soap is kosher for Pesach, so I say to myself, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. Soap, I'm not eating the soap. I'm not drinking the soap. The soap is not, there's no dog in the world that would, there's no dog in the world that would take a bite out of this bar of soap. So what are you mashugah? What do you need a book to look this up? So the laugh is on me, because I don't know the halacha. And the halacha is the reason why this soap, this is not an issue. You look at a bar of soap, the dog doesn't enter into the equation. Because what is the chametz? The chametz is not a grain. Sometimes an exotic thing, who knows, you might have grain. But anyway, if it's a grain, it's not relevant because it's not a lachilas kelet. The dog is not eating the bar of soap. So it's not a lachilas kelet. So what? If the issue of chametz is food, grains, consumer, okay, then you got a problem, then there's not. But it's the alcohol.
Rabbi
Moses
or the
Shomer,
did he explain this?
I'm assuming he does.
But
I don't have a book. I'm assuming from my Tesla.
You're missing out the whole point of why it's not a problem. Because it's definitely Bartol B'Shisha. Definitely.
Chomets.
It's Bartol B'Shisha before Pesach. Before Pesach, it's Bartol B'Shisha.
If the time is Nikar.
There's no time in there. It's a soap time.
Not so simple. It's what's it called? There's a Dover Hamaynid. Getting involved with a lot of different shaylos.
That's why most poskim say it's not a problem.
Me'ikar hadin, you'll always find the heter. There's no question about that.
I don't talk a major poskim aside from Rabbi Blumenkranz, who wanted to put out, I don't want to say he wanted to put out a sefer and have 185 pages, but most other poskim do not hold like Rabbi
Blumenkranz. Chometz, I'm not discussing halacha l'maisa, because halacha l'maisa, you're right. Halacha l'maisa, for many reasons, there are not problems. Okay, you are correct. A lot of these questions are not issues for many, many different reasons. Bittul is one reason, and most of the, you can be samachan roiv. Everybody, please, everybody, say. And you can be samachan roiv in many situations that most of the alcohols are not chametz. There are many. I just
want to point out that the bittul is only if it's done before Pesach. That's why if you have something full chametz, even a mushroom on Pesach,
then you're in a lot of trouble. There's no bittul. There's no bittul. Right.
Bittul is only before.
Before Pesach. There are many different issues to not. Mark.
I can show.
We're running
you
out of time. But I just want to bring out for myself, and these are all chidushim to me. These are the principles. The principles. You have products. You see people making a big deal about the product. You have to appreciate. Pesach chametz is also b'mashu. We're not dealing with the whole year round. The whole year round is bittul b'shishim, bittul b'roiv. If there's no flavor, the rules are very, very lenient the whole year round. Pesach, we're dealing with something that Me'ikar HaDin is a chiyuv koreis. Not just the loisase. Number two, there's a principle, chametz also b'mash, which we appreciate what that is all about. Number three, the principle of being royal achilas kelev, if the issue is an alcohol issue, it is irrelevant if a dog would consume this. The dog is not in the picture, because the dog cannot consume alcohol. That's poison.
Humans consume alcohol.
But humans, and a human, if you're going to go presenting with a bottle of wine, of alcohol that's chametz, that was sourced from chametz, it's usur. There's nothing to talk about. There's terrible averos for drinking the alcohol. So now when they take that alcohol and they put it into a lotion, into a medication, into cosmetics, even if you're not going to ingest it, it's usur b'hanah. So you'll say, but it's not royal achilas kelim. Achilas kelim is not relevant over here.
But
Alcohol is poison.
Does the dog know it's not supposed to eat the...
What?
Does the dog know?
He had to read the book. He didn't
read the book. The dog, when the chametz is in the geder of alcohol, the sugya of achilas kelev is out the door. That only applies when you're dealing with grain. You think a piece of bread. I have it. What used to be a bagel. Delicious hot bagel. Hot. And now you look at the bagel. And there's mold. And there are worms. And there's liquid. It's disgusting. Is it chametz? Well, it used to be chametz. It still looks like chametz. Just a little bit. Would a dog eat this? A dog wouldn't eat this. If a dog won't eat this, guess what? You're not over Baldi, Robaldi, Motza. You can have it in the house, and you don't have to. It's not chametz. It's not Rechilas Kela. But if you have a bottle of wine that came that the alcohol was reduced from chametz, the sugya of kelev is not relevant anymore because alcohol, by definition, is poison to a dog. So there's no dog anymore involved over here. We're dealing with you. There's alcohol.
If something is growing well, he's sober. We don't have to come on to growing.
Hano. The rule of any royal achilas kelev is something which is darkoi to eat. We're dealing with these type of medications. The derech is to derive pleasure. You're not eating this. The issue is deriving pleasure. Some of these things you ingest, some medications.
Would the dog drink your alcohol, your wine?
I told you the dog is not relevant. He's out of the picture.
But the dog would drink your wine.
No.
He would drink. He'd die afterwards, but he would drink it.
No.
Then there's stuff that are so sweet wine.
No, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. Dogs, first of all, dogs, it appears, have sensitivity not to drink wine. They have a sense. Very good sense of smell, and they know that it's not good for them.
He does have chocolate, and he'll eat the chocolate. And he gets
chocolate, they die faster than wine.
And wine!
And they eat it.
Chocolate.
Not so smart.
Okay. This is a very important principle. And again, there's a din of bittul. Obviously, there's a din of bittul before Pesach. And these things, you'd be shocked how far these things go. For example, I went to a whole video on this. It's an incredible thing about medication. They stamp on many pills what it is. Advil. Does it say on the Advil what Advil is? Does it say the word Advil?
No, there's a number.
There's a number on the pill itself.
Every pill can be identified right. By the code that's on it.
On the number, every pill.
Give me a pill, I'll tell you exactly what it
the
is.
The ink. Right. The ink that they use for that.
It's not an ink, it's an impression.
No, so there are still pills that they actually print the code. They
it's
actually print.
MNMs.
And they use ink. They use ink. Ad Kidei Kach, there was a scandal where they were using poisonous toxins for the ink.
Wow. That was from China.
They go look this up. I'm not making this up. They use toxins and giving a person the medication to heal them. And you're putting the ink is a toxin. Oh, it's a mashu shebamashu. Oh, excuse me, a mashu. People that have health is compromised. You don't want to give them any mashus. You don't want to go put ink which might be dangerous for them. Now, if in the world of medicine, go Google it. There's been stories where the companies, the pharmaceutical companies, have been sloppy. And they were not careful in the ink that they used to put this microscopic impression on a pill. So people start talking. Wait a minute, you go take a pill. Very good. The pill is all chemicals. There's no chametz. What is the ink? The ink. And then you will discover, guess what? There's alcohol in that ink. How else can you get to use this ink? There's alcohol. Where do you get the alcohol from? Oh, it's chametz. Oh, it's only a mashu. Chametz is also a mashu. Okay, there's no joke. Okay, and but it's not royal achilas kelev. When you're dealing with alcohol, dogs don't get involved. Dogs are not part of the equation. They're not part of the equation.
Even if there's starch in the pills, there are many poskim, major poskim, they will say it's not a problem.
Right.
Not a problem. And I'll tell you, you want one contemporary, well, not a contemporary anymore, the dying from Washington Heights. I called him.
I'm not telling you that it's
awesome.
And all
he says if the
I'm not telling you.
Is bitter.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's not roi lachi. We'll forget about
good. It. Good. You got it. 100%.
Just take it.
Fine. I'm not telling you. I just want to bring out the issue. Sure. You are correct. I'm the first one to be the most lenient.
Okay.
I just want to bring out, to me, I never understood this. To me, I never understood these things. Now I understand a little bit of appreciation. I learned appreciation about when do you apply the rule of roi lachi l'tzelach, when do you not apply, what is the major ingredient that everyone is so worked up about? It's always alcohol. That's the only ingredient that they're all worked up about.
Medication.
Today, 90% of the alcohol is kosher l'pesach, so the whole thing is not an issue whatsoever. So you're dealing with very, very few products. Then you, as you said correctly, it's anyway bottled. Anyway, there's no zecher for it anyway. Anyway, it vaporizes. It's only beer is in the original state. It's from chemical reaction and it's bottled. There's another reason to be maker. You're saying another reason. It becomes bitter. So it's not even roi l'achila. 100%. Oh, but you're not allowed to have hana. The isser hana is not on a mushroom. How far do you say that you're not allowed to eat, ingest a mushroom? But there's no issue not to have hanor from a mashu. You're not allowed to have hanor from something that's significant.
But on the flip side, if we're going to go with that concept, the starch that's binding the pill is starch.
Wow. That's starch.
But it's not a problem if the pill is now bitter, because now it's not an achila. It's not a problem, and it's before Pesach. Mm. It's not bitter.
Ingesting, remember, chomet is aser b'mashu. You have starch. The starch is chomet. It's a problem. How are you going to solve the problem? That's a different story. But the starting point is chametz is aser b'mashu. Starch that is chametz. Now, deal with it. That's one sugya. I'm not talking about starch now. I'm talking about out now. Starch also, you have a leniency that starch is an oichel. And dogs, will a dog eat this? The Torah gave us, Chazal gave us a way to get out of the problem dealing with
it's
starch.
So
you have another solution. You have another solution. But there's the ultimate solution. The ultimate solution, which everyone is just loves, it's not roi lachi l'tzelach. That's the trump card. It's not roi lachi l'tzelach. Have a nice day. One of them. That's true when the issue is a starch issue. When it's not a starch issue, it's an alcohol issue, you don't have that at your disposal. Because alcohol inherently is poison. Thus, you're dealing with something which you don't have a blanket head to not be roi lachila. It is roi lachila. Before they took the alcohol and put this into this food, if you would have been in the factory and you didn't want to have a lachayim, you would do it. And then there's a whole discussion. Let's say it would be poison the way it is, the way they put it in, let's say this is causes. The way they put the alcohol into the medications and the lotions and the shampoos, it's poison. That's because they're missing one ingredient, or they didn't put that ingredient. If they would add one little more ingredient into that alcohol, it would be delicious, it wouldn't be poison, it would neutralize its bad effect. So do we take that into consideration? Or no! The bottom line is, the way they put this alcohol into this food, at that moment in time, it was already poisonous. And even though you can repair it, because they extract chemicals, put alcohol.
You redistill it.
There's a lot going on here. I'm not a food scientist, I'm not into food technology. I just want at least to share with you this concept, which to me is enlightening. About when you're dealing with Pesach, the Yisoides are Chometz is a Chiv Koros, Chometz also the Mashu. Our ancestors, they had different types of lives. They went through this exercise in being Boidek Chometz for a Mashu because this is Shabbat. You come now to a modern world, we live Baruch Hashem, a very different type of life. It's not practical, it's not good for our mental health to go Meshuggah over the things that our ancestors did. When it comes to food products, if there are different types of chametz in the modern world, there's chametz that comes from starches and grains and food products, which traditionally Chazal were very kind to us and gave us a very easy rule to follow. Is this food? Is it roi lachi l'tzelach? And if the answer is no, we'll have a nice day, there's nothing to discuss anymore. And then in the modern world, we are primarily focused on products which are covered, that the only problem of chametz is alcohol. And the rule of alcohol is not shaykh to the rule of Royal Achilas Kerah.
Where is that
said? Right here. right here.
Because I think the whole point of
and now you're dealing with real chametz that you would be able to have to consume before they put it into this ingredient. Sometimes you have types of things that you're actually going to put in your mouth, medications, and sometimes you have products. So the product is not going to be osur, its consumption is concerned, but you're not allowed to have benefit from chametz. So how much is it a mashu? Is it more than a mashu? What kind of benefit are you having over here? Is it bottled before Pesach? Are you manufacturing this product on Pesach itself? No way! It was manufactured 5 years ago, probably, sitting on the shelf all these years. It was bottled long, long ago. So you have nothing to worry about. This didn't bittle. Is it really bottled? Is it not detectable? Is it davar hamaimit? Is it zev zegoyrein? These are all the rules. So I'm not telling you at the end of the day that it's awesome, because 99.9% of the times it's mutter. It is mutter. But it is an exercise in understanding the oneness of how you reach that final point of it being mutter.
Rabbi, bring that down. Because I think the whole thing is derech royal achilas kalav is only a definition of what it means royal achilas, but that does not come to exclude other items that the dog is not involved in, whether it's considered royal achilas or not. The whole concept is royal achilas.
Exactly. If it's
derech achilas, royal achilas has nothing to do other than the dog is our guideline.
If it's royal achilas odom, you don't have to come on to royal achilas kalav. If it's Roy Lachigos Odom,
right.
So what do you say? It's not Roy Lachigos Kelim. If it's Roy Lachigos Odom, why not?
And if it's not Roy Lachigos Odom, I don't have to come on to whether it was Lachigos Kelim or not.
Rabbi, how long ago would people start selling chametz?
What?
How long ago would people start selling chametz for Pesach? They didn't know we sell chametz for Pesach.
No.
They did for 1600s.
No. 1600s. The original halacha was made for beer merchants who would lose all their Jewish people made beer and alcohol products. That's where they would get their living from.
So
and they asked, and then it was only for the major merchants, not for the common person. But it sort of morphed down into the common person who wanted to save a few bucks.
Rabbi, so if you sell your chametz,
only the 1600s. Can you didn't exist before that?
Really?
When you sell your chametz, does that include the mashahus that are in the tents?
In
your house?
No, does not. You're mevatel the mashu. You only sell real chametz or something that's mamoshos. You do not sell crumbs. You do not sell crumbs.
So you're mevatel.
Crumbs, you are mevatel.
So why people scraping the floors?
It's tradition. And we said that in the very beginning. Tradition. Tradition. It is an exercise in acknowledging. Chametz is also the mashu.
And you don't sell your pass either.
You don't sell the pass either. You do not. You would sell your pass. You have to be toivel them. You do not sell your pass. You do not sell the crumbs. You only sell chametz itself or products that are chametz. And what else? You rent. You're not allowed to have in your possession the lo yei ro egg. You're not allowed to have in your possession the goy's chametz. So you have to rent. You have to rent the place, the location where the chametz is.
Amen.